My name's Patrick A. I'm an addict. What's going on, guys? Man, there's a lot of people in here. a lot of people I don't know, so it's like, well, my group did show out, and I appreciate that. Thank you guys for coming. I want to thank the panel for having me out to share on such a topic that is close to my heart and allow me to be of service to Narcotics Anonymous, especially at such a great convention, HACNA. Sorry I'm dressed like this. I came from the gym. I'm wearing my Hoochie Daddy shorts. I didn't mean to. You know, like, I was going to go home and change, but I lost track of time. So, like, I'm here, right? You know, I was like, I better be early than late, you know? So, parent scene, being a parent. Man, this single topic has changed my life more than anything in the world, okay? And I say that because, you know, a sequence of events that has happened over the years. You know, through the grace of God, I had the opportunity to celebrate 7 years this month on the 2nd, and I'm extremely grateful for that. And honestly, I don't think I'd be here if it wasn't for my child, my daughter. She's 6 years old. She is a beacon of light. She's very positive. She will talk to anyone. Honestly, I don't know where she gets it from. I'm an asshole sometimes, right? You know, she's very nice to people. She's, you know, positive. It's almost overwhelming. You know, so I'll back up a little bit. You know, I got 7 years clean, and when I first started getting clean, I got locked up, right? I did about a year. When I got out, you know, I'd already had one kid. It was my son, okay? And then I got out. I got my baby mama pregnant again, and we had another kid. She was still using at the time. I didn't have custody. I had been in prison. That's just how it goes, right? We use, we get locked up, we lose custody. It's the way it works, right? I didn't really deserve to be a parent at that time. So, you know, I'm kind of grateful I didn't have that ability to be there, because I would have done more harm than good. So I got out. I knew where I needed to be when I got out, right? I knew I needed to be in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in order to stay clean. So that's what I did. I got with the right people. I got with the right places. I got with the right things. I had been out a few months. Me and her tried to make it work. It didn't work. I'm trying to stay clean. She's still using it. It is what it is, right? I can't do anything about that. That's on her. I have to do what's for me. And, you know, I was actually at another addict's house. I was swimming. And, you know, I remember I was with Joe. I was with, you know, name some name. Joe, Whitney, Renee. Y'all probably know her. And, you know, we're swimming at her house. And I got a phone call saying, hey, you need to come to the hospital. And I said, well, why? You know, it was like this energy. Like, I just felt it. Like, I knew something wasn't right. I could feel it in my heart. And I said, tell me what's up. Like, they wouldn't tell me, you know. And so I got to the hospital, and they brought me in this little room, and they sat me down. And my mom at the time, she had rushed over there, still also using, was sitting there with my ex and holding my daughter, who was literally just been born. You know, and they said, your son drowned in the pool, and he's dead. And, man, I don't remember what happened after they said that. I blacked out. There was three cops on top of me. I wasn't nearly as big as I am now, but, you know, I still had some anger issues I had to deal with, right? And luckily, they didn't arrest me. You know, I'm grateful for that. I'd broken some things. But at that time in my recovery and where I was at, I didn't have the foundation I have today to deal with those types of emotions, right? You know what I'm saying? That shit hit me hard, and it hurt. And I remember just feeling anger and fear and distraught and stress. And the people in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous came to me, and they helped me. They brought me into their homes because I couldn't stay by myself. I wanted to kill myself, right? I didn't know how to deal with that shit. And then a couple days later, I got a call from CPS talking about, yo, you gotta get this kid. I'm like, me? An ex-con? With like year and a half clean, I'm working at Dollar Tree. What the fuck y'all want me to do? You know, like I make $9 an hour. Like, I mean, I was like, okay, bring her on over, you know. So here I am coming up on like, you know, 2 years clean or whatever, and I was blessed with this infant, you know, and she's crawling around on the floor, cute as shit, you know, and I didn't know how to do it. You know, I remember calling another addict and saying, I don't know what to do, man. You know, and this addict had experience in this situation. He knew, because he had done a he had raised his children as a single father very early on as a young man. I said, "What do I do?" He said, "You just do it, right?" I said, "Oh, okay, that sounds fairly easy, I guess." Fuck, you know. Thanks for that, asshole. Like, so, you know, I really do think them giving me my daughter is what kept me clean at that time, right? Because at that point, it really wasn't about me anymore. It really wasn't, you know, and for the longest time it had been. And, you know, I got close to my sponsor. I got close to my home group. I started working steps. I really dove into this process because I knew that I was either going to make it or I was going to break it. And it wasn't just going to be for me. It was going to be for my kid. And that scared me because the life I had grown up in coming up as an adolescent was like, you know, my parents were crackheads. Like, that's how it was. You know, I remember being raised thinking, like, when I get older, I'm going to do dope. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I felt because it's what I'd seen day in, day out. Like, I didn't have carpet on my floors growing up. Like, it was concrete. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And I just remember thinking, man, you know, I don't think I can put another human being through that. You know, I couldn't live with myself. So as time went on and things progressed, it got easier, right? And, you know, I'll start by saying, like, man, I'm not a perfect parent at all. Really, I'm a halfway decent parent at best. I'll be honest with y'all. Like, I still have my bouts, but, man, being a parent has given me so many character traits. I mean, it's just allowed me to grow as a man. You know, to be able to understand that as a child, I am not a child, but I need to, I'll put it like this. I'm my daughter's best friend, right? And I love her to death, and she loves me to death, but I am her parent. You know what I'm saying? And that means how I act, the things I say, they affect her, right? She doesn't care about that, but whatever I do, she's going to take after. You know what I'm talking about? She'll see me, you know, in the gym lifting weights. So she'll try to start doing that. You know, she'll do push. She loves to show me her push-ups, right? She loves to get on her computer, right? Because she sees me working on the computer. And it's like, what I say doesn't mean shit. For the most part, it's how I act. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I recently got out of my longest committed relationship, 2 years. I'm still dealing with these commitment issues. You know, I get in a relationship, I get scared. I start, you know, acting out because I want to self-destruct and I don't want to have anything good in my life and I don't think I deserve it, you know? And then, you know, this particular woman, I don't know, something about her, you know, I let that wall down and we bonded and she became, you know, the stepmother to my daughter. Her mom eventually got locked up, moved up to Washington. She remarried. She's got a kid. They don't have a relationship, right? She pays me child support. You know what I'm talking about? I got that $300 come in once a month. I just let it stack up. I don't fucking need it. You know, so when she gets old enough, I'm going to turn around and give it to her. And what's that? That's my one card or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? It's dumb as shit, man. $300 ain't enough to take care of a kid. Come on. Man, I don't want that money. And, you know, I let this woman into my life and I let her into my daughter's life. With the intentions on marrying her. You know what I'm talking about? And, you know, I still love her to this day. We have a good relationship. We ended things amicably. I still can't say that word sometimes. It's a big word for me. I'm not good at big words. But, you know, that was the first relationship that I didn't completely burn to the ground. And it wasn't my problems, her problems. It was just we weren't meant to be, you know? And, man, seeing what that did to my daughter when we did separate, it fucked me up. Because as children, they are fragile emotionally and they bond, especially a child who doesn't have her mother in her life will bond to another woman very easily. So I have to be mindful of that shit. How my actions, not what I say, but what I do affects her as a child, right? And luckily, this woman who I'm no longer with still wants to be in her life, still picks her up every couple days, still comes over the house, they hang out. Her and I don't have sex, thank God. You know, like, at first it was kind of difficult, but, like, you know, after that, we're like, all right, we're going to be adults about this, you know, like, we can't be doing that. So we stopped, thank God. And it was hard, I'm not going to lie to you, but, you know, we did. And, you know, a lot of the things I've done in my life the past couple of years have been because of my daughter, and I want her to have a better life. You know, I was working, I worked my way up the corporate ladder for a while. I got some certifications. I went back to school. I got into IT, started making good money. And then I was like, you know what? I want to go work for myself. So I did. And my sole reason for wanting to work for myself was because I was working 9 hours a day, Monday through Friday, sending my daughter to daycare. And then I was on a biweekly call rotation where I had to get up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning to answer a call to help someone with their problem. And I was like, this isn't viable. I'm a single father. There's not another parent figure in the picture to give her the attention she needs in order to develop and grow, right? And if I can't commit enough as a man to another woman to bring her in my life and allow that woman into her life, I need to do my part and be there. That's where I'm at, right? So I started my own business, right? And shit took off, let me tell you. It felt good, too. And I bought a Corvette 2 weeks ago. And I didn't even fucking need it. And I come home, my daughter's like, what's that? And I was like, it's fast. So I take her for a ride in it. We drop the top on it. And, you know, we're rolling down the street. And but as we get in it, you know, it's like, man, this is a dangerous car. Right? And I have a 6-year-old girl in the passenger seat. She's like, let's go fast. I'm like, no. You know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go fast. You know, like, we got it like 80. Like, I hit her with the supercharger like once, and that was it. And then I was like, all right, let's go back home, you know. And now even when I ride in that car, I think not necessarily about myself, but, you know, if I get into a wreck, who does she have? Not only that, if I get into a wreck, who else around me is going to get hurt, and are they going to be able to go home to their children, right? And I think that's what being a parent has done for me. It has taken me out of myself completely because it is not about me today. It is not. And as an addict, it can be a lot of the time, right? That self-centered thinking, you know. And, man, I tell you what, communicating with my daughter is difficult. I swear we have two different personalities. You know, I'm an atypical person. I'm black or white. I'll tell you what you don't want to hear. All my friends, they come to me and they're like, I only come to you when I want to hear some shit I don't want to hear. You know, that's just who I am. Like, I'm sorry. Even my sponsees will tell you. They come to me with some bullshit. I lay it out to them. I'm not good at listening, right? And I'm working on that. But it's my personality. It's who I am. My daughter's not like that. You know, obviously. She's a 6-year-old. No shit, Patrick. You know? And so, you know, I've had to learn with her. I have to communicate in a completely different fashion. I have to get on her level, like quite literally. I have to get on my knees and like look her in the face and listen and be like, okay, I guess I get what you're saying. Like, but sometimes I don't, because she's 6 and she doesn't know how to formulate those thoughts yet. But like, just the fact that I'm able to listen and understand what she's saying and take it in and show her that we have that relationship, right? That she can tell me these things that I don't necessarily understand yet. Because that's everything, man. She really is the light to my world. I mean, you know, I bought a house last year. I bought the vet. I bought all the sorts of shit. I'm taking her to Disneyland in a few weeks. We're about to go to Mexico next week. We're going to Tulum. You know what Tulum is? I don't know. Sure. It looks pretty on Google. I know that much. All right? You know what I'm saying? I bought them tickets. I was like, let's go. Yeah, we're about to find out. The water is blue, okay? You know what I'm talking about? And we just got back from Costa Rica last week. That was nice. So life is good. I have no problems. She is in karate full-time. She's in gymnastics full-time. I hired a nanny, you know? You know, how am I here right now? Where's my kid? She's with the nanny. Yeah. I'm talking about the nanny, it's a good nanny, you know? And she's so excited, actually. We actually went go-kart racing today with a few of my friends and one of my sponsees. And you could tell she was scared. We did the 2-seater. We get in there, and she's like, we're going to be all right? And I'm like, we might be. You know, we'll see. You know, I was just fucking with her. We're going to be fine. And, you know, the look on her face when we start hitting them corners, and she's, like, obviously terrified, but, like, she has some joy in her face. And, you know, all she – I don't know what it was. Like, we got done go-kart riding, which is extremely intense for a 6-year-old. She's super excited. She has this belt test, her karate class. She's doing her test for her next belt, which is a yellow stripe. And, you know, I think in this world right now, the only thing that matters to that girl is that I'm there Monday to see her do that, you know. And if I was out using, I wouldn't be able to be there, you know. And, man, I'm so grateful for that because I truly believe Narcotics Anonymous has given me that ability to be present in her life, not only physically, but emotionally and mentally, you know, through working these steps, through listening to my sponsor, through coming to these meetings, doing what I was told and my predecessors had done. I did that shit because it worked for other people, right? Another addict told me one thing one time. He said, Patrick, you don't have to overcomplicate this shit because for me, you know, I like to think I know it all or I know too much for my own damn good. But the reality of it is this is a very simple process. It is just not easy. Okay. You know, you go to meetings, you work your steps, you call your sponsor and you just don't pick up. And just doing those simple things has allowed me to grow as a man and be a parent today. So I'm real grateful for that. How much time do I got? Am I almost done? All right. Well, how much? Hell no, man. The fuck?
10 more minutes.
Well, look. I don't want to start spitting bullshit to y'all. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I've said my piece. I'm real grateful to be a father. You know? Right? It's done a lot for me, you know? You know, and, yeah, so, my guy, yes. So, I will say this, you know, if, you know, so this past year, you know, my business picked up, things got hectic, you know, I started making a lot of money real quick, and then I had to learn how to manage that money and invest that money and do all these things, and, you know, that kind of took over for a while. Right? That got in the way of my recovery. It got in the way of the relationship with my daughter. And I had to check myself. Not only did I check myself, my sponsor checked me. So why is it every time I call you, you talk about some business venture? How tell me how your kid's doing? You know? So I would like to say, you know, I got to be mindful of that because even today with a few years clean, I can still get out of whack with some shit and put it in the forefront, in front of my recovery and the relationships that matter. You know, the truth be told, the things I've told you I bought, they sound good, but it really don't mean nothing, you know? Because if I'm not mentally and spiritually there for the people around me and myself, I'm going to lose it anyways. So, you know, I'm real grateful to be here. Like I said, I appreciate you asking me to come out and do this. I love you all. Thank you to my family that came out and to support me. I know I didn't tell you I was going to come do this because, honestly, I think I forgot too, but... thank you all so much for supporting me, and I can't wait to... Yeah.
Whoop whoop. Hi, I'm Christina R. and I am an addict. I first want to thank Narcotics Anonymous and HACNA for inviting me here. This convention is dear to my heart because Alan being the chairperson and then passing away, and I know that this is very difficult for Cammy, and he was very close to my husband. He was a great support, and so I just wanted to honor him and the committee. Thank you for inviting me here to speak. And so my topic is, part of being a good parent may look different to each of us, and this is out of the Living Clean, page 145. And I want to start with thanking God. And I really love the theme of this convention because an awakening of the spirit is what I needed in order to be a good parent. Not only did I need an awakening of the spirit, but my children needed an awakening of the spirit. And in the last part of this paragraph, that is my topic, it states, and since we cannot give what we do not have, what we want for our children can motivate us in our journey. And so part of my journey was that I had to surrender to the principles of Narcotics Anonymous, that I had to stop doing things my way. And that I had to go to any length, right? And this is a very sensitive area for me because my path looks different than a lot of people. And I had to learn how to deal with myself and how to balance my own emotions, because my whole life, that is the whole reason that I used, right? And when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, it took me a couple of times to get within. And it wasn't that I didn't have a desire to stay clean, but it was that I didn't know how to use, I didn't know how to live without the use of drugs. And so my children suffered in the beginning because of this, right? And so I had to, I remember being in treatment, and this counselor told me, because I was listening to everybody, and everybody's going to sober homes, and everybody's like doing this deal. And for me, it was like really foreign. Like in my culture, you don't leave your children, you know? And so part of my story is that I had wreckage in and out of Narcotics Anonymous. And so I ended up in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous using, very confused that I was not using because it was prescribed medication. And then I couldn't get off of that, so then I ended up on methadone. And what turned out to be a 30-day program ended up to be 7 years of my life in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous with a predecessor. And so I had to get myself to a place where I had to take care of me. Like, no matter what, I had to take care of Christina, and that meant dealing with her codependency, dealing with the addiction, dealing with everything that that addiction had brought to my life. And so now I'm in a place where I have to separate my family and send my children with their dad, right? And that was very difficult for me. And I remember this counselor telling me, like, you know, Christina, you are an important part of the family system, and you deserve to be clean and to live a life of freedom. And I didn't know what that meant. I just wanted to stop using. And I remember H and I coming into the treatment center, and I remember them telling me, you don't have to live like this. And I could not get with that. I could not get that I was going to have to stop taking opioids, Xanax, and methadone all at the same time. And my body was going through physical withdrawals, and I had lost so much weight because of my thyroid. That was 67 pounds. And I was in a scooter driving from one side of the treatment center to the other because I couldn't even walk. And so... so I get out, and I finally made a decision to put myself in a sober home. And I told my sponsor, and she was like, that's the best thing I ever heard. Come out your mouth. And so so it took me a couple of relapses. That was actually like in 2012. It took me a relapse because my body, I just didn't know how to deal with the... with life. And I remember calling the person that I was with, and I said, you know, I don't think that that I can do this without the Xanax. And I'm just going to take it just for the anxiety, but I'm going to stop the opioids. I'm going to continue not taking those. And he was like, okay. And that's what I needed to hear, because I wanted to use, right? And so I ended up using, and my body was so clean, so I ended up picking up a felony. And so moving forward, in 2014, my clean date is 5/6 of 2014, and for that, I am truly, truly grateful. And I had a little bit of experience with Narcotics Anonymous and getting some freedom, but I relapsed on a 6-step. And I was trying to deal with my defects with the spiritual principle of self-discipline. And that didn't work, because it says in our literature in the sixth step that this can only be done with the loving and caring presence of God, right? So my spirit needed an awakening to be a good parent. And so I come into the program in 2014 with two warrants out of Kirk County. And I was fighting to see my children in Austin at this time. And their father wouldn't let me see them. And they were staying with my mom. And I felt betrayed because they weren't allowing me to see my kids, right? And this whole time, like even when I was using, I always made it happen for their dad to be in their life, right? And so it was like really, really painful for me to be in this process that I couldn't see my children. And it was like that feeling of powerlessness and that void that I hear people talk about in the rooms about people when they have breakups. I felt that when my children were not in my life. And I needed God to fill that void and that pain. And I truly believe that God is so, so loving that he graced me in this time to be able to function and take care of myself, because I didn't want to be that parent like my mother that would come in and out, jails, institutions, and she loved me so much and unconditionally, but she just, like, you know, she was an addict, right? And I made a decision and a commitment to myself that I was going to do everything that I can to recover physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, so that when my kids came back in my life, they would never have to leave. They would never have to leave. And my boys, I ended up going and picking them up. So at the time, I had this court case of with food stamps, and they wanted my boys, to get tested. And I remember being there at the courthouse, and, you know, I'm young in recovery, and they're telling me, like, oh, you just got to sign here, da-da-da. And so they're under the impression that the boys are with me at this time. And I remember thinking, like, oh, I just got to have the judge sign this. I'll go pick up my boys, and they're going to be in my custody and so forth. And my husband at the time, looks at me, and he says, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? And he says, you're lying. I said, no, I didn't even say anything. Like, I'm not lying. And he says, you're lying by omission. You got to call your sponsor. And that's part of my story, that it's so important who we put around us. Because in that moment of vulnerability, it's that split decision that can take us out. Right?
That's right.
And so I got honest, you know, with her, and I told her my situation, and that, you know, I had gone to treatment, and then I ended up, the boys with their father, they're not letting me see them. And she said, okay. She was like, they still need to go get tested, and there's a court order. And I was like, okay. So now I'm able to go get them, right? And so I go up to Austin, and I get them, and I bring them home. And then the next day I go to get their school records. And their father had told them that I had a warrant, right? And so the very first day my children came back, I was taken to jail in Travis County. And so one of the beautiful things about this program is that for the first time in my life that I was dealing with the legal system, that 11th step took place. And I wasn't even on that 11th step yet, but I was in the process. And it says that we can experience a peace that we have never felt before when we remove our selfish motives. And even though I was going to jail, for the first time, I didn't have to take a Xanax. I didn't have to take a drug. I didn't have to use anybody. And I just remember being in jail and thinking, man, I'm going to miss my six-step reading.
Come on.
And let me tell you how good God is. And I pick up this magazine, and right under that magazine is our little white booklet. And I knew.
Yeah.
I knew that that was God.
Come on.
And then when I was allowed to use a phone, I was like, man, God, like the first day they're home, like, like they have to go back. And so I use the phone, I call my husband, and he's waiting outside the jail, and he says, I just need this power of attorney to be signed so I can enroll them in school. And I'm like, okay, I see you, God. And so my children, so all that got taken care of, and God really moved because I had a warrant. And I was doing everything that I had to do in recovery except report, right?
Yeah.
And let me tell you how good God is. Today I work at the adult probation in Bexar County Jail as an outpatient counselor. And I'm in charge of the aftercare program for the residential treatment center.
Yeah.
All right, that part.
Yeah.
Come on.
And so my children get home. And they're with me. And so parenting can look different to each and every one of us because they came not trusting, not having a God, only believing in themselves. And where it says here in our literature, we learn to listen carefully and to communicate in a way that we can be heard. Just as we do in sponsorship, we learn to meet our kids where they are, right? Because they're all individuals. I love you, Douglas. That's my boy right there. And I told them what I was told. I said, I don't know what y'all are going to do, but you got to believe in something greater than yourself. You can't just rely on your own will, right? And so we went into this process of finding God. And not just finding God, not the God that I created, but the God that created me. And through the step working process, I was able to get with that God. And I'm going to quote Richie C. right now. He said, and this really touched my spirit because he says sometimes, I had never heard it like this. And he said, sometimes the disease wants you to just go to your sponsor, just wants you to go to meetings, just wants you to go to relationships, just wants you to go to people because it doesn't want you to go to God.
Come on.
Because when you're with God, when I'm with God,
all right.
I'm on a whole different spiritual realm.
That's right.
And I'm protected. And I'm in the care of, right? Mm-hmm. But I had to learn to do that, not just with myself, but with my babies, with my children. And Brandon, he said, we have to be insistent with the recovering addict, right? I have to be insistent with my babies, too, in seeing them the way God sees them, even when they don't see themselves in that way. And so for me, being a good parent looks like sometimes giving them that space that they need. Being their prayer warrior, being their intercessor, being their prophet of God, and seeing them in the way God sees them and praying that through. And I was only able to get to this place because of Narcotics Anonymous and the 12-step working process. And being a good parent to me meant that, because I had wreckage in my past, right? Meant that you're going to stay in Narcotics Anonymous no matter who's talking about you, no matter what people are saying, no matter what people think. I had to make a decision and a commitment on a daily basis so the disease wouldn't take me out of Narcotics Anonymous. And all of this, this beautiful program, allowed me the fortitude to be there, like for my oldest son, who is one of us, to be there for him. And being a good parent looked like me leaving my husband, not leaving him, but going and staying in Austin to help him for a week in the transition of going into treatment because he was in a psychosis, in a meth psychosis. And every part of me was like, you know, he's an addict. I did it. He could do it. Because one thing, because of my experience and because nobody told me when I was using, that you shouldn't be doing that. I will not allow my children to be in my home and use. I will set that boundary. But I will be there 100% for them when they're ready to get clean. And so for me, being a good parent looks like being there. And so my child, my oldest son, Christopher, he ended up going to treatment where I was working at Austin Recovery. And he ended up getting clean and then transitioning into another program. And he did about 6 months of treatment and then got, and now he's following another path. And tomorrow, that boy is ministering the word of God at his church.
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
And to me, being a good parent looks like being there for each and every one of them individually in how they need it in that time, right? And so, like, I have another son, Joshua and Julian, and they're both so very different. And they ended up finding their relationship with God, too. And so today, like, we have this beautiful relationship where we worship together, where we pray together, where they're like, man, Mom, like, I'm so proud of you. And they see, they know my sponsees, they know, you know, people in the rooms, and they're like, Mom, can we have a family meeting before you let someone else stay here? And so those boys, you know, it's a two-way street, just like sponsorship. It's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. And, you know, and what and being a good parent looks to me like having my youngest boy come to my home and being there for me. And me being there for him when he tells me that he's struggling with his dad and that his dad is causing mental anguish. And when he makes a cry out at his school because he felt his father was putting his hands on him. And so to me, being a good parent, because before that, let me back up just a moment. When I got into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't want to be selfish, and I had seen that my baby had gotten really attached to his dad. And so being a good parent for me meant that I wasn't going to fight him in court because I felt that was the best thing for him at that time. But moving forward, when my son is crying out to me for help, you best believe I'm going to advocate for him. So to me, that's what a good parent looks like. But at the same time, when my son used marijuana, I set that boundary. And then he went back to his dad because he didn't want his phone taken away. And so being a good parent to me means like sitting still in that pain. That reminded me of when I was using with his dad. And taking a step back and allowing him to have his process, because I would call him and I would text him and he wouldn't call me back. And so being a good parent to me looks like that I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray you into the rooms. I'm going to pray you into who God destined you to be. And being a good parent to me looks like I have a second oldest son, John Nathan Glenn, and he's in the Army. And when I brought his younger brothers to live with me, he was really close to his dad and it hurt him. And he couldn't understand. So he's never experienced mom in recovery. And so being a good parent to me looks like I message him on a daily basis on his Instagram. And I tell him how much I love him. And I tell him that I believe in him and I'm proud of him. Because I believe that one day he will get those messages. And so I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm so grateful for the step working process. And so I had to work on my codependency. I had to make a decision, you know, that I was going to do this program with or without anyone in my life. And that I was going to surrender to the principles of Narcotics Anonymous. And cultivating that relationship with God. And so being a good parent to me looks like communication, love, unconditional love. I try to see my children the way God sees them. And patience, like God has truly, truly given me like this ability to be patient and tolerant with them. And it didn't happen, like that just wasn't my nature. You know, it wasn't my nature. I remember when I first tried to get clean, my oldest son said, "Mom," I was in the car and he was like, "Mom, it looks like your vein is gonna pop out your neck." And today, like, I can be still in the midst of the storm, right? I can be still in the midst of the storm. And so that void that I felt at the beginning of our recovery, of my recovery, in the 12th step, it says this. The spiritual void that we felt at the beginning of our recovery is now filled with unconditional love, gratitude, and a service to God and others, right? And being a good parent to me is being of service to them. It's being of service to my children, listening to them. And so I say all this to say it took an awakening of my spirit. My spirit had to be awakened because I came in so broken, so voided. And I can say that today I don't feel that way. That because of God and this program and sponsorship, that I feel whole today. And so for that, I'm truly grateful because I never imagined that I could feel that way without the use of drugs. And so I have to be insistent with my children, insistent on what I believe and what God believes in them. And so sometimes being a good parent means to me having acceptance, self-acceptance. And I want to read this. Perhaps most importantly, we learn that we can get our self-obsession out of the way. We can experience love, compassion, empathy, and intimacy. As we make peace with ourselves, we find peace with those around us, including our children. Today, I can look my children in the eye. Today, I'm honest with my children. Today, they know that Mom loves them unconditionally, and that no matter what, I will be there for them 100%. But I won't lose myself in the process. When we practice self-acceptance, we can accept our children as the human beings they are. Perhaps the best gift we can give our children is acceptance of themselves. And since we cannot give what we do not have, what we want for our children can motivate us in our own journey. And that's my story right there. Like this paragraph, when it was given to me, at first I was like, man, I don't want to speak on that. Why did they give me that paragraph? Why did they give me that topic? But it was because it was such a sensitive area for me because of the love that I have for my boys. But I also know that God has me in a season to speak my truth. Because there was a season that I was healing, that I was staying quiet, that I was hearing things, that people were talking, that all these things were happening, and I was in this season of just allow God to do it. Just allow your God to do it. And that was a painful process because I don't know about y'all, but when I'm changing a behavior, and I was brought up that if somebody hurts you, you hurt them back. And so for me to be still, and my sponsor said, if nothing changes, nothing changes. Call me before you act out, right? And so I went through this process, and this is the things that I teach my children. It's okay to feel your feelings. They're not going to kill you. They're just emotions. You don't have to use, no matter what. You can feel your feelings. And so moving forward, like, I finally got at peace with speaking on this topic. And God gave me, he was like, go. And so today, I'm going to be true to myself. I'm not going to betray myself. I'm going to stand up for myself. I'm going to advocate for myself so that I can be there for my children. Because if I don't take care of myself, I'm not going to be able to be there for them fully, you know. So being a good parent to me looks like self-care, you know, being able to pull back, you know, because I am a counselor and that can take a lot of energy out of you. And so learning to take a step back and just believing in them that they can continue on this journey and continue having their spirits awaken. And I'm so grateful. Thank you, Hackna. Christina R.